It's London, August the 31st, 1854. And there is a terrible outbreak of cholera that is sweeping through the city. It's really scary because people are dying fast. In a matter of just a few days, 87 people have already died. You are Dr. John Snow, and you've been studying cholera. You don't subscribe to the conventionally held wisdom of the day. You don't think that cholera comes from bad humors, bad air that you breathe. You think cholera comes from contaminated water. And specifically in this situation, you think it's coming from the water that's being pumped out of the pump in St. James Parish. And so you have to make a verbal presentation. You have to go make a presentation to the Board of Governors of St. James Parish, and you have to convince them to take the handle off of that pump so people will stop drinking the water. But you're a scientist, a doctor, you're not a professional speaker, so this is a little daunting. So you think to yourself, well, maybe I should be bringing in a visual aid to help me with this talk. So you think about what that visual aid could be. First, you think I could show them the water. But you know, the water doesn't actually do anything for you because the water is clear, it smells fine. It's not a visual aid that helps you make your argument. So instead, being a man of science, you start to collect some data and you go to the coroner's office. And so you get the names of the 87 people who have died so far and the dates on which they died, their addresses. And you've got a list. So maybe your list looks something like this. This is a terrible visual aid. And that is because there is so much information on this slide, on this list, that you folks in the audience can't read it. The font is too small. You don't really know what's there. And if you could read it and you were one of the Board of Governors, it might distract you because you might find that you actually know some of the folks on that list, or you might start to think about the names and so forth, and it might take you away from my presentation. You might stop listening to me. But even more importantly, this list does nothing for me to help me prove my point. This is a display of information without any thought given to what it is I'm trying to do with this information. So this is not the visual aid that John Snow used. Instead, he took this data and instead of displaying it in alphabetical order or by date of death, he put it on a map. And the map that he used is this one. This is a map of the city of London at the time that he lived. And I have these maps also in a book. So let me give one to this side of the room and ask you guys to come gather around, take a look at this together. You guys can hold it. So come on up here, folks. And then here's one for this side of the room. So take a look at this map. This is the map that John Snow drew. And you can see that what he's done is he's put little hash marks at each place where somebody was when they died of cholera. So you can see these little lines. If you're seeing thick lines, that means that's where lots and lots of people were. And then even more interestingly, he's got places on the map that are colored in yellow. And those places don't have any dead people. And that's because something else was going on there. So one of those places, for example, was a brewery. It turns out the folks who worked at the brewery weren't drinking the water coming out of this well. They had their own pump at the brewery and they weren't drinking water. They were drinking beer. And he could tell a story also about the outlying pieces of information. So he has some hash marks that are kind of up in the corners, sort of widespread. Those people came to town for some reason. Some of them came to go to school. One of them came to visit a sick aunt. So as he started to map this data, bit by bit, a pattern emerged. And you began to see that all these folks were grouped around this pump right here at Broad Street. So you guys can sit down, you can pass those books around and take a look at them. So this is the visual aid that this guy used, minus my fancy little graphics here. That's what he showed the Board of Governors, and that convinced them. They took the handle off of that pump, people stopped drinking the water, and within days the cholera outbreak was contained. So suddenly we knew a lot more about what causes cholera, but we also learned something about how visual aids can work. They can be extremely helpful in organizing a speech and in making your point clear. So why is it that you might want to use a visual aid? So here's the famous study. A lot of people are visual learners. Lots of folks get information better if they can see it. It makes more sense to them. So psychologists have looked into this, and here's the sort of graphic that people use to explain this. If we tell you something and we simply explain it to you, so you're getting that information just through your ears, a week later you're going to remember maybe 10% of what you heard. If you see something, so maybe you read an article about it, a week later you'll retain about a third of the information that you saw. But if you hear it and you see it together, a week later you're going to remember two-thirds of the material. That's a much, much better statistic. So really the question is, why wouldn't you use visual aids? So things to think about: you're going to also use visual aids because it helps make your speech a little more dramatic. So you could imagine Jon Snow, maybe he's not a very good public speaker. Maybe he's a little bit nervous about how things are going to go. Maybe he's very understated, kind of dull. But as soon as he rolls that map out, suddenly that presentation has life. Suddenly everybody is riveted. So if you're trying to figure out a way to jazz up what it is you're doing, very often a visual aid can help you. It can help you because it can help you remember your script. So you can see that I'm standing here talking to you for the next hour and I'm doing it without any notes, and that is because my visual aid is letting me know what the next point is that I want to make. And so that can help me improve my delivery. It can help me look you in the eye and really connect with you. And then, of course, there are situations in which a picture is going to be worth much more than any words that you could use to describe it. So when you're designing your visual aid, here are the things that you want to consider, and this is true of any kind of visual aid. So the first thing you need to think about is it worth putting in a visual aid? As soon as you make something concrete, something that we can see, it will draw the focus. So a basic mistake that you see lawyers make is putting something in a visual aid that isn't actually all that essential. So you get bogged down in sort of the minutia, some digression in your speech, rather than the central thing. Whatever the heart of your speech is, the main message of what it is you're trying to do, that's what goes in a visual aid. You put other stuff up there, so imagine that, say, you're talking about a statute and you care about one specific section of the statute, that's what you want to put up on your visual aid. You put the whole thing up there, then people might get distracted, then we lose focus. So you want to make sure that the thing that you're making visual is the thing that you want us to remember. You want to think about, can we see it? So I was struggling with that with my map of Jon Snow's London, because I wanted you to see the actual map. It's such a neat map with the hash marks showing the people and so forth, but it's small. So I took it and I put it up on a PowerPoint slideshow, and then I came into the classroom and I looked at it and I realized you could get the point that it's a map, but you couldn't actually see the little marks. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to bring the books in and I'll move you and I'll have you look at the books, or you can look up at the slide, and then you could see that I also animated it so that if you couldn't really see the details, you could see the thing I was pointing to, which was the pump. So you want to think about anything like that with a visual aid. It's a bad idea to have a visual aid that people can't see, because that's just frustrating for your audience. So any visual aid that you design, you need to come to the space where you're going to be speaking and look at it from the audience's point of view and think about, do you need to do something, move the audience, make it bigger, whatever, to make it visible for them. You need to think about how you're going to get it on the stage gracefully. So how are you going to pull that rabbit out of the hat? This is why PowerPoint is so easy to use, because you can introduce a new PowerPoint slide, which can be an entirely new picture or what have you, simply by the click of a button. You have a remote control and you advance the slides. If you're using a three-dimensional visual aid, you'll want to think about pre-setting it, getting up in front of your audience gracefully, because if you're fumbling, that is going to take away from your credibility, from your ethos. Once you introduce a visual aid, you got to do something with it. So this is a mistake a lot of lawyers will make. You have a piece of evidence, you go through the litany of getting it admitted into evidence, and let's say you do that gracefully because you know exactly how to go through the steps that you have to take to authenticate a piece of evidence and so forth. And then you forget to ever do anything with it. You forget to show it to the jury or have a witness explain what it is. It's a big mistake, because even if you've gotten it into evidence, if we don't get what it is, then it's like it never existed. So as soon as you bring a visual aid into your presentation, you need to work with it and you need to spend a little time on it so that we have a chance to process what it is you have showed us. And then you need to think about when you want to get rid of it. So sometimes you don't want to. Sometimes it could be some fantastic timeline that proves your case for you, and opposing counsel forgets to say that it should be taken down, and so you just keep it up there and it helps you throughout the case. But sometimes you do want to get rid of it because it's something that is now distracting, you move on to a different point. So that again is something you have to think through and orchestrate and practice. Working with visual aids is a lot about practice, because you put that work into it in rehearsal, then when you do it in performance, it's smooth. We'll never know that you spent a lot of time figuring out where this thing is going to sit and how you're going to bring it out and get rid of it and so forth. But we will appreciate the dexterity with which you work with the visual aid. And then you need to consider what this visual aid should look like. So you've got lots of options available to you, and now I'm going to take you through a variety of types of visual aids that you might reach for in your lawyering career.